Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit AURION to get started.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Terrell International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit Terrell.com, that's TERO.com, to learn more. This is Michelle from the Terrell team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
With State Director of the Iowa AARP, or actually we have to say it, AARP Iowa, because you have to get the branding correct. Is that right?
Absolutely.
You got to do that.
We are all about real possibilities, and that's what the AARP is about. And then each of the 53 state offices.
D.C., is that included?
D.C., Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. And, of course, we're very, very concerned about the ongoing stress of our members and our professional staff in both Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. I got a great opportunity to meet with my counterpart, Jose, from Puerto Rico last week when we were in D.C., and we embraced and knew that still hundreds of thousands of
American citizens
are without electricity.
It's stunning, isn't it?
Stunning.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some
things.
And
it's been a while.
You think?
It's been a while.
Yeah. What, 3 months?
Gee, I've lost track.
Yeah, exactly.
So is all of the rest of the United States as well.
And it's a shame. Let's talk about some passionate things that Kent Sovereign is passionate about. Let's spend some time. Before we turned on the microphone, which is always the more interesting conversation point, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about voting. And we want to make it clear. AARP is nonpartisan, no PAC.
No political contributions. We don't give money to political parties. We don't give money to PACs. We don't give money to candidates. We don't give money to people in elective office. So, as I ask our members when they're together, what the heck is our power?
Yeah, right.
And they say our power is our issues and showing up at elections.
So that's what I want to talk about. We were taking a look, and we're going to be talking in just a little bit with Anthony Carroll about losing about 15% of the voters between the presidential election in 16 and looking forward or behind, actually, to midterm elections. But what's going on out there when you're talking to people that are engaged, and senior voters tend to be much more engaged. They show up at the polls. But you said something to me about bumper sticker issues.
Well, at the same time that the 50-plus voter is the most committed and the most reliable, that it plays to our benefit and to our disadvantage. Mm. Because we are reliable in a couple of different ways. One way we're reliable is that we show up and vote in
sure.
much larger percentage than any other generation or any other age group. Even at that, and I imagine you'll hear this from Anthony, the fall off between even among our age group between a general election and a midterm election is pretty dramatic, and yet we still show up. So our predictability is terrific in that context. It is also a little bit of a disadvantage because candidates and political parties and those people that are elected to represent us understand something else. We have a brand loyalty. And chances are if I've spent most of my life voting Republican, I'm going to continue voting Republican. And if Democrat, I'm going to continue voting Democratic. The issue then becomes it's easy for folks out there on the campaign trail to just give us what I call bumper sticker responses. Don't worry, we'll protect Medicare. Don't worry, we'll protect Social Security. Yeah, older Iowans are important to us. You know, just stuff that fits on the bumper sticker. Yeah. And it's on the right, it's on the left, it's in the middle. You know, Medicare for all. What the hell does that mean? Excuse my my language. But, you know, in fact, we're doing some presentations that we launched yesterday in our voter engagement campaign called The Power of the 50-plus, and I was looking for some pictures to put up on a slide of, you know, you've seen them and I've seen them, cars and vans festooned with bumper stickers, but I couldn't find any that weren't offensive in, you know, some way to somebody. But I was looking for one from the left, one from the right.
Sure.
Say, are you tired of this? Because I am tired of this.
Yeah.
I am tired of folks taking my vote for granted, giving me happy talk in the campaign, and then doing nothing or virtually nothing for the 50-plus population.
Or going the other way.
Or doing us harm.
Right.
And doing our members harm, doing the public general harm, and doing the institutions the service harm. For example, we care about seniors, and yet there is little or no regulation of the nursing home industry in Iowa. Inspection or regulation. I mean, I'm sure there would be people that would counter that. But the fact is, there's
it's
no money and no
today.
Personnel
right.
behind that to any great extent.
But yet we say that those individuals are our most important asset.
Or if they're vulnerable, we're going to protect our vulnerable citizens.
Right.
Really? How are you protecting our vulnerable citizens? People are isolated. In many times, widows, although they're men too, but widows and widowers isolated in rural communities and on farms outside of rural communities, they want to stay independent in their community, engaged as long as possible. And yet, what kind of transportation services do we have available to those people who are increasingly isolated, that need to get to the doctor, that need to get to the grocery store, that need to have some sort of social interaction? Okay, the pushback I get from that is, we'll rely on the faith-based community, friends and relatives. Well, that works to an extent. In fact, we have three or four very successful programs we can point to that our members have encouraged in Marshall County and several other counties around Iowa, but that's not a complete solution.
It's not 99 counties, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Nor is it. Nor, you know, volunteers lead busy lives, too.
And families are more scattered.
Absolutely.
Than at any other time in
our
history.
I have a stepdaughter in Tacoma, stepson in Atlanta, and they've got their own families and their concerns, a son in Sierra Vista, Arizona. So, you know, and unfortunately, I've got a pretty good local network. But as I grow older, as my wife grows older and I grow older, that network becomes tattered and shredded. Why? Because people die. Because people move away. Because people have other things that interferes.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do here, and what I'm, I guess, what I'm exercised about,
I'm a little passionate about this,
is that I'm just not going to rest this election season with getting a bumper sticker response from a question I have of a candidate. And I hope all of your listeners will commit themselves to the same thing. Pushback we got yesterday as we started out was, you're right. But, you know, we really don't like to be confrontational. And I think you can push without being confrontational. Also, people, you know, you have to live with your neighbors and friends and people in your faith-based community. So if you push too hard and suddenly relationships get torn and community fabric gets torn, I understand that. But saying nothing, doing nothing, pressing nothing, if all we do is what we've done, we're going to get what we've got. And what we've got is a pretty unresponsive political system on the left, on the right, in the middle, completely unresponsible to the needs of the 50-plus population. And that's not a monolith. You know, when I was in my 50s, my needs and concerns around my health security, my financial security, and my personal engagement, quality of life, those are very different. Those were very different in my 50s than in my 60s, or now as I approach my 70s, as I become 70 and in my 70s. So seniors, that is people 50 plus, are not a monolith. And it's not just my age that determines what my interests
Absolutely
are.
Not.
It's my position in life. How secure, am I more secure or am I less secure? Am I more vulnerable or am I less vulnerable? So you imagine folks that are older than us, that are more vulnerable, what's on their mind? Let's put that lens in to our eyes as we're talking to these candidates.
What do you suggest to people who say, well, we don't want to be confrontational, we want to live with our faith-based community, with
Absolutely.
Our neighbors and all those things? But they'll go to these candidate forums and they'll go to these eggs and issues that the chamber
sure.
has, those kinds of things, and sit there and mostly nod.
Yeah, and I think that that's not the proper way to engage. I mean, those are all fine events. And as a former Chamber of Commerce executive, I love what we did to engage our elected officials in those kinds of eggs and issues or whatever we
sure.
want to call it. What I suggest is, one, that you find some trusted sources. And I happen to think AARP is one of those trusted sources. Let's imagine an issue that you really want to talk about, like Social Security or Medicare. Well, there are certain trusted resources that you can get. And, for example, we've got a booklet that says, here are the 12 things that Congress is talking about around Social Security. How about we have a neighborhood meeting? And we have a conversation among people who care about the issue that may or may not be politically active. I imagine it's easier to get the people we know that are politically active. And say, you know, whatever you bring into this meeting, let's leave that at the door and let's talk about these three or four things that Congress is talking about or that the state legislature is talking about that affects our lives. And let's see if we can't come to an agreement. I think setting a conversation around that, and then maybe there'll be disagreement, maybe there'll be agreement, there'll probably be disagreement. But the fact is, then we're armed with some kind of sense of fellowship with our neighbors and friends and faith-based community that we can then
engage
the candidates. Maybe not in a forum, maybe it's at a coffee, maybe it's inviting, you know, maybe having a second neighborhood meeting and saying, hey, you know, we're going to be talking about Social Security and we want you to listen. Wouldn't that be an interesting concept? Is that, hey, come on down to Forestdale. We're going to have a little picnic on Maquoketa Drive down there. And we want you to come down and listen to what our neighbors are talking about as it relates to caregiving, as it relates to Social Security, as it relates to our health security, our work and save, our financial security. What about fraud? We'd like you to come down and just hear what's on our minds about fraud. Just hear us out. Let's talk about it.
You mean reverse it?
Well,
sort of speak.
We can do that. Hey, and guess what? If it fails, so what? At least it's different. And maybe I'm just becoming a cranky old man, Michael.
Well, you are becoming cranky in your waiting time here at AARP Iowa. I want to move on to something else that we were talking about off mic, as a matter of fact. And I think this is also interesting because I don't think many people understand this. And I know how passionate you are about hunger issues in Iowa. People would be absolutely astounded, I think, to learn that in so many parts of Iowa, in rural parts of Iowa, we have some severe hunger issues out there where people are food challenged every single day.
Absolutely. And it is, there's not a county in Iowa that doesn't have at least one food desert. What do I mean by a food desert? Are fresh fruits and vegetables readily available at a reasonable price? Can people get to those things. Are people relatively certain that they're going to get the amount of caloric intake that they need in a day? As I mentioned before, there are so many issues that are tangents or connected to the food security issue, rural isolation being one of those. And I was stunned to find out how many food, we call it food insecure.
Right.
So you're uncertain of where at least one meal is going to come from, or you don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And our AARP Foundation has been committed nationwide on a drive to end hunger. It's been a great partnership with NASCAR, as a matter of fact. They package millions of packaged meals, and of course, Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands have been a great recipient of that as well. And we've got local Iowa companies that have been engaged with us on the mall over Labor Day weekend. We package up a million meals. Now that provides relief for catastrophes and those kinds of things. But what we're concerned about also is the day in and day out.
Yeah. If you're issue. Food insecure
yeah.
tomorrow,
yeah.
you're likely to be food insecure next week.
That's right, yeah. and today. So one is in the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps. We know that there are a lot of people who are 50-plus who could qualify for food nutrition assistance but fail to do that. Because, one, they believe they're taking it away from someone else. Or Iowa pride. We got a chip on our shoulder. I am glad that I'm Iowa proud, and I'm a little bit stubborn that way. But push comes to shove, you know. You really ought to be taking care of your physical health, because one thing down spirals down to another.
Yeah.
Rural isolation leads to less trips to the grocery store, leads to more trips to the doctor's office, which
mental
leads
illness,
to depression,
exactly.
Yeah, all of those things come into play. And it's not the government's going to be the end all and be all. I mean, just as with caregiving, 90% of at-home care is by family and friends and volunteer, non-paid caregivers. So too will be much of this. But imagine more community gardens. Imagine that friends and neighbors and faith-based community do more to provide fresh fruits and vegetables during the growing season with our great rich soil in Iowa. That is something that a local entity, you know, can do, and it would have immediate impact.
And it doesn't matter where you're at in Iowa.
That's right.
You can do it anywhere.
You can grow an abundance of fresh
right.
product.
Right.
Imagine that a school or a community center or whatever that has a commercial type of kitchen dedicates a week to canning. You know, when the crops are ready, and we've got a half a dozen or a dozen community gardens out there, and we've got more damn tomatoes than we know what to do with. Let's can them.
Yeah.
Let's can them and let's distribute them and let's make them available to people.
So there are solutions beyond.
I believe there are solutions, yeah. and they're not necessarily governmental
Got
solutions.
It. Got it. Ken
and
Sovereign.
that's where our volunteers come in to play so often.
Ken Sovereign, ladies and gentlemen, the director for AARP Iowa. I want to spend some time in reflection, Ken. This is your swan song, so
Absolutely.
To speak. What are you doing retiring, man?
I love the work.
Yeah, I can tell.
Who knew? Who knew 7-8 years ago that my next gig would be with AARP, and it would be absolutely the crowning achievement of my career. I have worked for fabulous organizations over my professional career. Some of my friends joke that I was a millennial before millennials, because my longest tenure in any job was with the Greater Des Moines Partnership. It was 10 years. Everything else has been something less than that, whether it's teaching elementary school or Iowa Public Television. But every one of them, you know, was an interesting change. And of course, getting into lobbying and all of that sort of thing with a variety of representations, and then having my own business for a few years. That was a strong growth opportunity and experience. all of that is to say that we all make promises to ourselves and promises sure. to the people we serve. And service leadership has always been, regardless of what I've done, it's all always, I think, has always been about service leadership. And I'm proud to say, I'm happy to say, pride cometh before the fall. I'm happy to say that AARP is an organization that has the ability to deliver the promise to the members if things are properly organized at the local level. When I came on board 7 years ago, we were just beginning a transformational change that continues through today and will continue, I think, for the foreseeable future. And that is to increase relevance to our members, to increase the impact to our members, and to organize ourselves so we're using every dollar for its maximum impact. I think we've made a transformational change in moving to that. And now we're operating internally under kind of a moniker of going from national to nationwide. And it's taken a long, you know, rebranding an organization sure. as large as our AARP. And, of course, many people still think of, oh, you know, you're the retired people.
Right.
You know, yeah. Well, RP means real possibilities. And we're 50 plus. And we're all about, you know what, you know how people my age spell retirement?
Work.
W-O-R-K.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right. So even though I'm hanging up my spurs as state director here at AARP June 1st, by no means is the work complete.
Right.
And I'm sure that on one basis or another, I'm going to be engaged in leadership and continuing the mission of AARP of equipping and fighting for the 50-plus population, giving you the tools you need to fight for yourself and then fighting for you as well. That's what we're going to be about. That's what my life is about. Now, as I mentioned, those promises, you know, I have the lovely spouse, and she has been...
Phyllis wants you home.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but but certainly she wouldn't mind a little bit more time. And she sometimes jokes that over the last 15 years or so, we've traveled all over the United States on business, one thing or another. And she's seen New Orleans, and she's seen San Antonio, and she's seen the Glacier National Park in Kalispell, Montana, and she's seen all these wonderful Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And I've seen the inside of hotel conference rooms in the same place. So
I'm with you, brother.
We would love to experience some of these wonderful places in the United States and beyond together. While we're still relatively healthy in our 70s and moving on. And then, of course, we have grandchildren, as I mentioned, leaving to my oldest granddaughter. Our oldest granddaughter is graduating from college. So we've got even more time that we want to spend with the grandchildren before they're completely gone from our lives and into their own adult lives.
Well, I will certainly miss these conversations. They have always been inspiring. I always learn something, and I'm going to miss that, but I got a feeling you're going to turn up from time to time in some places that we will probably bump into each other.
Well, I think over the summer they're the big three. We, AARP Iowa, sponsoring the Intero Bang Film Festival, which is part of the Des Moines Arts Festival. We'll be there. We'll be big, and we'll be under our Movies for Grownups moniker doing a lot of work. I hope that all of your listeners who are coming to Des Moines for the Des Moines Arts Festival will take in a film or two and at least stop by, get their picture taken, and have a good time with us with our Movies for Grownups presence. The second is the American Chamber of Commerce Executives is having its national
ACCE.
Conference. National conference in July.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing some Build a Better Block kinds of activities. It's all featured on our Livable Communities work, not just here in Iowa, but nationwide. Huge presence
it
there.
Is.
And, of course, the thing that we started last year at the Iowa State Fair, the first Monday of the Iowa State Fair with Veterans Day at the State Fair, we're going to have a huge tent, a huge presence, and I hope all of my fellow veterans will show up Monday. I want to shake your hand. I want to thank you for your service. I want to have stories about where you served and embrace those that have served our country in so many so many ways. So at least in those three, I'm like a bad penny. I just keep coming around, you know? And in those three instances, I'm still going to rear my ugly head and be part of equipping the 50-plus and fighting for the 50-plus in all that we do from now on.
Ken Sovereign, the best of luck to you in retirement. But again, we will be seeing you all over the place.
Well, thank you, Michael, very much. It's been my great pleasure to have such a great group of talented professionals backing me up, and more important, or as important, a great group of several hundred volunteers all across the state of Iowa, and of course our colleagues all across the country and the volunteers all across the country. It is truly a wonderful organization that is mission-driven, spirit-driven, and embraces the best of what America is and the best of what democracy is.
We'll leave it there. Ken Sovereign, ladies and gentlemen, State Director for AARP Iowa.
Thank you, Michael.
I gave a girl a ride in the way.